रूप कदामायां तदाते चापांतांतिकां Reading from Sri Vrindavan Mahimamrita. Sataka 2. We're beginning the second volume by Srila Prabodhananda Saraswati Thakur. Text 1. I would rather reside in Vrindavan, even as an insect, than reside in any other place as a liberated soul with a blissful spiritual body. I would rather reside here in Vrindavan, even as a poverty-stricken beggar, than reside in any other place as a person possessing wonderful, endless wealth. Are you wanting to come in? Are you wanting to come in, or are you going elsewhere?
Well, I was just walking by, but it looks like a lot of nectar going in.
What would you like?
Oh, I just want to get a taste of the nectar. I didn't mean to interrupt your class.
No, we can make room for you. Pass that chair up. Just pass it over everybody's head. No problem. Here you are. Chair made to order. Please have a seat.
Thank you. Excuse me for interrupting.
It's no interruption. This is the purpose of our being in Vrindavan. Can you hear from outside? No? Okay, everybody move up and open the back door. Go the back way. If the men will come out the back door and come in this way, then the ladies can go in there. Narayan, go in the other way. Go out. You in the back, sir. If you go out, then they can all come in. Keep the door open, it'll be better, even though it's a little noisier. Okay, sorry. We'll just start again. I would rather reside in Vrindavan, even as an insect, than reside in any other place as a liberated soul with a blissful spiritual body. I would rather reside here in Vrindavan, even as a poverty-stricken beggar, than reside in any other place as a person possessing wonderful, endless wealth. I would rather reside here in Vrindavan, even as a person completely devoid of the slightest trace of devotion to Lord Hari, than to reside in any other place as a person overwhelmed with the desire to attain the happiness of serving the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the lover of the gopis. Would anyone like to comment on this? Are you healthy?
Yes.
It's an ecstatic symptom. Maybe it's the incense. Anyway, you can tolerate it. Okay. We've read it almost twice. I think they'll have to get the book. Would you like to comment on this? Yes. How is it possible that someone would prefer to live in Vrindavan, even as a person completely devoid of the slightest trace of devotion to Lord Hari, than reside in any other place as a person overwhelmed with the desire to attain the happiness of serving the lotus feet of Lord Krishna, the lover of the gopis?
Well, if he lives in Vrindavan, in any state, he will attain devotion. No matter in what state of being, if he's living in Vrindavan, then he will get to love Vrindavan, and by loving Vrindavan he will develop love for Krishna.
And here's
so then he'll have both. He'll have Vrindavan and love for Krishna.
Perhaps he's waxing poetic here.
Well, probably more than that. Also, loving Vrindavan is another way of loving Krishna.
Oh, a bridge passage. Speak up, please.
And
all the living beings, even the most humble, are so dear to Radha and Krishna.
I have another idea. Okay. He says, I'd rather live in Vrindavan as a person devoid of loving service to Lord Hari, but of course the Mahabhagavata always feels that he is devoid of loving service to Lord Hari. Rather than somebody who is interested in the happiness, so he says that he's feeling it's better to be in Vrindavan and not to think I love Krishna, than to think, well, if I love Krishna, I'll become happy. The idea that if I love Krishna, I'll become happy, that can also be a material consideration. So if he's a resident of Vrindavan, he's automatically a connection with Krishna. But one should not feel I have love of Krishna. Nor should one think, if I love Krishna, I'll be happy. That's a nice way to get people in a devotional service. But if he thinks we shouldn't be chasing using Krishna as a way to chase after happiness. The goal should be loving devotional service to Krishna in any state, and feeling happy should not be a condition that we put on devotional service. So he, by saying, well, I'd rather live in Vrindavan and have no love for Krishna, that is the perfect sentiment of a Vrindavasi, that I don't love Krishna. The gopis don't think we love Krishna so much. They think that we don't love Krishna enough. Lord Chaitanya expressed that sentiment. Better that
was worshipping Krishna with the idea of getting some reward in the form of happiness.
What do you think?
I'm satisfied with your explanations. Huh.
Seems to be some contrast there, because he's expressing two ideas. One idea is living in Vrindavan and not having any devotion for Lord Hari. If we take Lord Hari to mean not Krishna directly, but he says here, rather than one who is serving a lover's to the Lord Krishna, the lover of the gopis. That's, he's saying, outside of Vrindavan. So one thing is, we'd rather be in Vrindavan and not be interested in. I'm just wondering if he takes Hari there to mean not Krishna, but he quotes.
I understand. He says, Gopi Jana Ramana. That's Vrindavan Krishna.
But that's the second part, one living outside of.
Yes.
Because it seems that in, according to our understanding, that like the residents of Vrindavan, for example, even though Krishna apparently leaves Vrindavan,
they speak loudly so everyone can hear.
Even though the residents of Vrindavan, or even though Krishna apparently leaves Vrindavan, the residents of Vrindavan, they never can conceive of leaving Vrindavan, although they want Krishna to be there, but they would. It seems that they would rather be in Vrindavan, devoid of Krishna, than to have that relationship with Krishna outside of Vrindavan.
That's nice. Just like the residents of Vrindavan, when they met Krishna at Kurukshetra, they weren't satisfied. And they said, everything is here, but still we are not satisfied, because Vrindavan is not here. So that's your point.
That's those, very nice. Those who are living in Vrindavan, if they're devotees of, say, Narayan or in the Aishwarya mode, then they will not be attracted to actually stay in Vrindavan.
All right, let us go on. In Vrindavan, the trees and vines, filled with multitudes of wonderful, transcendental, splendid flowers and fruits, the blissful, excited cooing of the multitudes of splendid, transcendental peacocks, cuckoos, parrots, and other birds, the many multitudes of splendid, transcendental lakes, streams, hills, and newly blossoming forest groves, as well as the golden ground studded with jewels, have all enchanted me. Now he's giving some reasons for his feeling of attachment to Vrindavan. Every one of these things is reminding him of Krishna. In other words, one who is really Krishna conscious cannot see anything but Krishna in Vrindavan. Whatever it may be, he sees the parrots, and they're talking, and he hears them talking of Radha and Krishna. He sees the Jamuna waves, and he thinks that the waves are offering an aarti to the Lord. He sees the color of the clouds, and he remembers Krishna. He sees the peacock, and he remembers Krishna. So many different things, and everything reminds him of Krishna. So he's Prabodhananda Saraswati is saying, therefore I want to be in Vrindavan, because here everything is in relationship to Krishna. So we can also say that this next verse gives some hint of his sentiments which are expressed in the first verse. In Vrindavan, the effulgent ground is fashioned with many wonderful, colorful Chintamani jewels. The trees and vines are full of blissful spiritual fruits and flowers. What are those spiritual fruits and flowers? The birds make a great tumult by reciting the hymns of the Samaveda. And the lakes and streams are filled with transcendental nectar. May my heart meditate on Vrindavan in this way. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, there is a description of Krishna coming home. And when he enters Nanda Bhavan, you may remember how the birds all circle in the air. What are they singing? Anyone who has read? They're all expressing their great feelings of separation from Krishna and their eagerness. So it's mentioned that Krishna knows the language of all of the different living entities. And in Vrindavan, every living entity speaks in a way which glorifies Krishna. Just like it mentions in Krishna book, when Krishna is glorifying Balaram, that all of the flowers and trees are bowing down and offering you their flowers and fruits. Actually, they're also offering these things to Krishna. So every living entity there is glorifying Krishna by their existence. And the lakes and streams are filled with transcendental nectar. May my heart meditate on Vrindavan in this way. When one drinks the water from the transcendental lakes and streams of Vrindavan, what does one get? Yes, they get Krishna Prema. They don't simply get a full belly of water. Therefore, if you remember in an earlier verse, he says, you can drink as much Jamuna water as you possibly can. I remember that when Srila Prabhupada was in Los Angeles, one rich Basi came there and gave Prabhupada some Vrindavan dust. And I was wondering what Prabhupada was going to do, and he went and he ate it. And that was very early years, and I was really amazed to see that. It was 1968, and I was just amazed that Prabhupada would eat dirt. But he was very pleased to receive the dust of Vrindavan and take it as prasadam. But that dust is not different from Krishna. In Vrindavan, the leaves on the trees are made of emeralds, the flowers of diamonds, the new flower buds of beautiful pearls. The whole time you've got to control now. The microphone is just behind you. In Vrindavan, the leaves on the trees are made of emeralds, the flowers of diamonds, the new flower buds of beautiful pearls, the newly sprouting leaves of red Kuruvinda jewels, the many fruits, all filled with various kinds of nectarian tastes, of rubies, the rain, of an incessant shower of nectar, and the bumblebees of sapphires. Would anyone care to comment about bumblebees? Are they actually sapphires? Have sapphires become bumblebees? Or, of course, the sapphire is dark blue. The best sapphire is dark blue. And a bumblebee is bluish black, almost like the color of Krishna. So are these poetic descriptions? How shall we regard them?
Krishna describes in his sages glorifying Balaram following Lakshman Prabhu. In Lakshman Prabhu, Balaram and Krishna were moving inside the Vrindavan first.
Okay.
And Krishna was describing them as the sages in the guise of bumblebees glorifying Balaram.
So your point is that the bumblebees are
sages in actuality.
What about the fact that it mentions here that they are sapphires? Shall we say they're the colors of sapphire? Yes, Giriraj.
Spiritual Vrindavan, everything is Satchitananda. And in the comparison between the bees and the sapphire, and even in the comparisons of Krishna to different material objects, Srila Prabhupada explains that because there's no exact replica in the material world, something which is very great and wonderful in the material world is mentioned, but actually Krishna and anything in Vrindavan is far beyond it.
Is.
Far beyond it.
So all wonderful things are being used here to indicate the glories of each of these things. Not that necessarily we should limit those things to those particular comparisons, but to show us how excellent everything is. Those things which are most valuable are mentioned, and which bear some type of resemblance also. And also it helps us to get some idea of the inconceivable wonder of each of these items.
Filled with countless supremely beautiful golden trees, as splendid as numberless millions of blazing suns. When these trees appear before the heart, they shower a cooling rain of transcendental bliss that immediately extinguishes the burning suffering of repeated birth and death and grants the rarest and most difficult to obtain spiritual treasures. So these trees are so many great sages, for example, are appearing as trees in Vrindavan, in Braja. Just like at Radhakund, the trees, the Pandavas, are said to be present there in order to be able to witness the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. So, as we have said earlier, we should never regard these trees in an ordinary way. Some of them have been here since the time of Krishna. Others are descendants of the original witnesses to Krishna's pastimes. So we should have regard for them and offer our obeisances to them. A very famous tree at Imlital. That tree, Lord Chaitanya personally sat there. So many wonderful pastimes took place there. Does anyone know that pastime? Who can recite it nicely? Anyone? Huh? But you have to speak very loud.
You speak.
5,000 years ago, when Krishna used to sit under the Imlital tree and used to have pastimes with Radharani. So once, so Radharani got separated from him. So in separation, he sat under the tree and started saying Radhe, Radhe, Radhe. So it became so intense that his color changed to golden. It was the color of Radharani.
Then what happened?
Then.
Your friend can give the balance, don't you want?
Then when Lord Chaitanya came, he sat under the same tree, and he started saying, Krishna, 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 and he turned white.
So this is the power of these trees, that they can transform Krishna into the mood of Radharani, and again, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, feeling separation from Krishna, transforms his color into the color of Shyam. So these trees are very, very sacred and dear. And all the trees, there are so many trees. Krishna would go in the tree and play upon his flute. Krishna took another tree, Kaliyagat, jumping from that Kadamba tree into the Jamuna, and that tree is still there because of having the nectar of Krishna's lotus feet upon it, so it survived. So we should appreciate, by hearing these pastimes, the greatness of these trees. So to say that they are golden trees, as splendid as numberless millions of blazing suns, again, as Viraj Maharaj said, it's not to be. It's not, even that does not fully describe their glories. That is
illuminated by numberless moons of spiritual bliss. It is cooled by the sweet nectar of spiritual love. And it is filled with desire trees and many hosts of madly cooing birds, whose heart will not run to Sri Sri Radha Krishna, who enjoy eternal transcendental pastimes in that Vrindavan. Don't even glance at the external things of this world, whether they belong to you or to others, whether they are as splendid as millions of suns and moons, or whether they possess a great flood of good qualities. Renounce them. Give up all conventional, peaceful composure, and without caring for anything else, always remember Sri Sri Radha Krishna and reside in Vrindavan. Give up false identification with this wretched material body, identification that is the cause of the horrible cycle of repeated birth and death. Meditate on your spiritual form in Vrindavan. Millions of calamities may fall. Don't be disturbed. Until all past karma is destroyed, reside in Vrindavan and always meditate on the pastimes of your two lords, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. We saw in the past years some very wonderful Vaishnavas who came to Vrindavan. Gauri Mataji, Bhudimanta Prabhu, and others as well. And Prabhupada's disciples, and they underwent so many difficulties here. But still, they remained very determined that somehow I should stay in Vrindavan. When we hear the description of Gauridasi's leaving her body, how just before that time she expressed so much joy at how wonderful the experience that she was feeling was, and yet she was suffering very, very intense pain from having cancer, and yet she was experiencing the greatest sublime pleasure. We can understand to some degree that when a person gives their life in the service of Srila Prabhupada and the mission of ISKCON, then she came here and was awarded with so much spiritual benefit of being able to leave her body in this holy dham, and it means to get so much realization of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy. To understand to some degree or fully, as far as she was fortunate to be able to, the unlimited wonder of Radha and Krishna. So the devotees could see that her leaving this world was not ordinary. Even Bhudimanta, who went through so much pain and suffering, still to leave his body here is so glorious. One devotee's child left their body in the guest house by taking an overdose of pills. And I asked Prabhupada, what happened? What is her destination? And Prabhupada said, it is said, he replied like this, it is said that one who leaves their body, his or her body, in this land of Vrindavan, becomes liberated. So, whether liberation or beyond liberation, how much benefit, even by a person, a child, unknowingly, who takes, swallows pills, becomes so elevated. What to speak of a devotee who willfully stays here, attached to Krishna to the degree that he will remain in the dham, and gives up his body here. It mentions here that one should meditate on the spiritual, one's spiritual form in Vrindavan. This type of meditation cannot be done by speculating or imagining something, but rather it has to come by revelation. Prabhupada said that when he was asked, how will we know our spiritual identity? Prabhupada answered that through the chanting of the holy name and by the mercy of the spiritual master, one will gradually have it revealed what one's identity is. So scriptures explain that one should hear regularly from the pastimes of Krishna and his associates. And this regular remembrance of these pastimes, living in the dham, going to the holy places, regular chanting and associating with the devotees of the Lord, will purify the heart. And by chanting more and more and more, then gradually by the association of advanced Vaishnavas, it will be revealed. So it is not a question of speculation. It is not that our process is that the guru will give you in the conditioned stage detailed information about your name and your age and your dress, as some Babaji's do. Our acharyas have rejected this system, that in a conditioned stage, as a form of sadhana, the guru is to give all of these things in the beginning, and then one meditates in this way. Our acharyas have not accepted that system of sadhana, but rather they have said that the system is to first of all become free of all anarthas and to gradually develop taste and attachment, and then one will begin to understand. The spiritual master will make the necessary arrangements to inform the disciple of everything necessary regarding the true identity of the disciple. And then the disciple will be able to meditate actually on his or her eternal identity and the service that one is to render with that identity. until all past karma is destroyed. Reside in Vrindavan and always meditate on the pastimes of your two lords, Sri Sri Radha and Krishna. Please worship and serve this effulgent transcendental couple, enjoying transcendental amorous pastimes together in this grove of Vrindavan. His complexion, the color of sapphires, and hers, the color of gold. He holding a splendid flute, and she, a red, long-stemmed toy lotus. He, with a splendid peacock feather crown, and she, with long, splendid braids. He, dressed in splendid yellow garments, and she, in splendid red garments. Happily picking many kinds of flowers from the trees and vines, Radha and Krishna praise the forest of Vrindavan. They bathe and sport in the lakes of Vrindavan forest, and they play with the birds and other creatures there. Who would not serve Vrindavan forest, the supreme transcendental abode? With their soft flower petal hands, Sri Sri Radha Krishna carefully watered the trees and vines from the time of their first sprouting. They nourished them and made them grow, and at the proper time married each vine to an appropriate tree. When they saw new flowers beginning to blossom, they became delighted and spoke many playful, joking words. Let us bow down and offer our respectful obeisances to these trees and vines of Vrindavan's forest. Here, the trees represent Krishna, and the vines represent Srimati Radharani and all of her associate friends and maid servants. So, in marrying the vines to the trees, Radha and Krishna express their eternal relationship together along with all of the gopis. When we meditate on Krishna, the meditation is done according to descriptions like these. When Prabhupada was once shown a painting by one of his artists, Prabhupada asked, "Where did you get the information about this pastime?" So the devotee said, "Well, in Krishna book it mentions that Krishna and his friends were doing thus and thus. So they must have also done this as well." So Prabhupada rejected the painting. And he said, "Don't paint anything speculative, but just paint according to what is stated in scripture." So the words of personalities like Prabodhananda Saraswati are scripture. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, and all of our acharyas are self-realized personalities, and their statements are accepted as Shastra. So their words are just suitable to help us to meditate on Krishna. When we chant Hare Krishna, it will be natural after some time when our mind is no longer wandering here and there, when it is actually able to simply fix upon the sounds of Krishna's holy names and Radharani's holy names, then it will be very natural that descriptions like this will come in the mind. So our Goswamis have written beautiful descriptions of the pastimes of the Lord just for us to meditate upon. That is mentioned, that I mentioned this previously, that mantra upasana means to meditate on a particular mantra. Just like Venam Kanvanta Maravinda Daraya Taksham Bharhavatam, this verse that we sing in the morning for Brahma, for greeting the deities, is a verse from the Brahma Samhita, and it is a perfect description of the beauty of Krishna's transcendental form. So Srila Prabhupada gave us these prayers that when we look at the deity and we recite this mantra, it will have wonderful effect upon the mind. It will create the entire proper atmosphere and it will invoke Krishna's presence within our heart. It will help us to deeply draw Krishna within us, within our hearts. So this is mantra-upasana, especially when it is done by an advanced devotee. Now it is very difficult for us to do this because we are distracted by so many different things and we have so many desires other than the service of Radha and Krishna. But when we become properly advanced, then chanting Hare Krishna, all the pastimes, and even or one pastime will come within the mind. Just like if we hear this description of his complexion, the color of sapphires, and hers the color of gold. He holding a splendid flute, and she a red long-stemmed toy lotus. He with a splendid peacock feather crown, and she with a long splendid braids. He dressed in splendid yellow garments, and she in splendid red garments. And chanting Hare Krishna, it is very clear that that mantra Hare Krishna is described here. It is not different. This description given here and the description of Hare Krishna is nothing actually different. Different Goswamis have given their explanations of the Maha Mantra, and each of the words of the mantra is a description of Radha or Krishna's glories. So verses like this are practically like these mantras. And remembering these verses, a devotee can commit them to memory and keep them always within the mind. And chanting Hare Krishna, this will have a very wonderful effect on the heart of a devotee and help him to actually feel true feelings of attraction for the divine couple. The next verse also is another pastime. Picking many kinds of flowers from the trees and vines, Radha and Krishna praise the forest of Vrindavan. There are so many nice pastimes in which Radharani and Krishna are picking flowers, sometimes Radharani being stopped by Krishna, that you have stolen the flowers which belong to my forest. Sometimes Krishna is stopped by the gopis, that you have no right to do this. But ultimately all of these things are meant to create more and more wonderful situations for their meeting and their association together. In Vrindavan forest, the trees are called Druma. Now these are different words which are ordinary words. Just like, what is the word for tree?
Vriksha
Druma. Druma, also Druma.
Huh? Yes, outside also in Benares there is Bodhi Druma.
So Druma is a word for tree. Okay. So in this particular verse now, Prabodhananda Saraswati will give us his Vrindavan connected definitions for each of these words. He says, in Vrindavan forest, the trees are called Druma because they melt, drew, with love for Krishna. The word drew means to melt. So he says, the trees in Vrindavan are called Druma because they're all melting in love for Krishna. And they are also called Taru. Trees are called Taru. Why? Because they shield Tarana, the word shield. They shield Tarana, Krishna, from the blazing sunshine, Tarana. The vines are called Vratati. Because they have taken a firm brat. Very good. To serve Krishna. The deer are called Krishna Sara. Because Krishna is their life and soul, Sara. And they are called Mriga. Why?
Mriga.
Mriga.
Mriga is an animal.
Why? Why are the deer called Mriga? Huh? I know that it means deer, but why is it specially called Mriga in Vrindavan? Because they always search Mrig, the word Mrig, means to search. Because they always search for Krishna's footprints. I meditate on limitlessly beautiful Vrindavan, filled with limitless trees and vines, limitless deer and birds, limitless splendid groves, charming lakes and streams, jewel mountains, and the divine couple's limitless nectar pastimes. Oh, brother, what kinds of enjoyment have you not already experienced in this world of birth and death? What kind of fame and worship have you not already attained in this world by scholarship, charity, and sacrifice? For today, oh friend, simply accept whatever food comes unsought. Look to see the good qualities in others and not their faults. Do not put yourself forward, but remain obscure and unknown, and continually wander without any companion in this beautiful forest of Vrindavan. So, we have spoken on subjects like this. We'll read a little more. If someone tells me, you should leave Vrindavan, I will cut out his tongue. If someone tries to drag me from Vrindavan by force, I will kill him. If a beautiful girl begs me to leave Vrindavan and marry her, I will not go. If need be, I will become a thief and steal the money of others, but I will not take a single step out of Vrindavan. This could become this verse could become a mantra for those who do not want to return to their duties. Giriraj Maharaj, what would you say if a devotee from your zone approached you and when you said, well, Prabhu, it's time now to go back to your duties, and they said, according to Prabodhananda Saraswati Das, what will you say? The next verse is one of my great favorites of this book. When becoming dumb to jokes mocking others, deaf and blind to others' faults, and inactive like a stone in the matter of bringing others even the slightest pain, will I reside in this Vrindavan forest that is so dear to Lord Krishna. This is such a nice statement. I will read it and you can see the three prayers that he makes. And if each Vaishnava would embrace this mood, then we could avoid all types of Vaishnava aparad. He says, when becoming dumb to jokes mocking others. So many times, right, we tell little jokes and, you know, ridicule other devotees, perhaps even in a seemingly friendly way. But he says, when hearing such things, that one should be, he says he wishes to become dumb, as if he did not even hear such things, to jokes mocking others. He says, deaf and blind to others' faults. In other words, when the mind, so in the first case where we hear other people telling jokes to turn off, just turn our minds off to those and not interact with their words. And if we see faults in others, to gradually train ourselves to become blind and deaf to these faults. In other words, as much as we see a person's faults, certainly a person also has many good qualities. So learning not to appreciate the poor qualities, but rather to see the good qualities in others. So he says, blind and deaf, and inactive like a stone in the matter of bringing others even the slightest pain. And those others don't only mean humans, like flies, dogs, cows, all types of other living entities. He says, not even bringing the slightest pain. And he says, this will help me to reside in Vrindavan. Why? Because all of these living creatures who are residing in Vrindavan are so dear to Krishna. Because they're all part of the Vrindavan forest. So he prays to be able to adopt this type of mentality. So it's a very, very nice prayer. Now, perhaps some may have comments or questions.
He wants to become inactive, like a stone.
No, the last verse.
Before that one?
Yeah. Not the last sentence, the last verse. We should travel around.
Oh. Yes, it says, continually wander without any companion. But remember what I said, that if you're advanced enough to be alone like this, then it's fine. But if you're not, then it's better to have an associate. Even Narada Muni does not. If one is advanced, then one can be alone. Then one's mind is fixed on Krishna and he is not alone. That is the real point. Then it's no problem. Otherwise, the mind will create so many thoughts, which will be problems.
Hari Bhakti Vilas says not traveling alone.
Hari Bhakti Vilas also says no. But this,
yes,
yeah, but this wandering is a bit different than actually traveling. So that, my example, and you know, it means to move about, just like we see Madhavendra Puri moving about alone, going to different places. We see Rupa Goswami's bhajan kutir at Kadambatir, or Sanatana Goswami's bhajan kutir, and they were living like that alone. But they would meet occasionally. But look at their position. Yeah. So, if a person is genuinely advanced, he's speaking in a very advanced position. It's not to say that this is not to be done. But at least, otherwise, someone who's not ready, if he does it, there may be a problem.
The descriptions of the desire trees, are these descriptions for all the trees in Vrindavan, or are there specific trees that are desire trees, and just those of Vrindavan?
Could someone give an answer on this? I should ask Brother Jagatruni, she's writing a book on trees.
According to what I've read, all of the trees and species and every speck of dust is also a contamination.
So then why is it that we are not getting prema bhakti? Right? That could be your next question. There's so many trees full of prema bhakti. If all the dust has prema bhakti, if all the cows are kamadenus, what's wrong with us? We got the wrong desire. They are fulfilling our desire. Our problem is our desire is not the right desire. We have no proper desire. Our hearts are full of material desires. Man proposes and God disposes. So when we propose the proper thing, these trees will do everything for us. The dust will do everything. Just staying in breathing the air, it will do everything. Drinking the Jamuna water will do everything. But at the present moment, we are full of material desires. Therefore, we should go all over the world and do our duty in Krishna consciousness and get the right desire. By pleasing the acharyas, by serving the distinctive line, by pushing the mission of Krishna consciousness, the right desire will come. By their mercy. Actually, desire is a blessing of the acharyas. They bless us with proper desire also. Being pleased with our service attitude, they bless us with the right heart to receive all of the mercy of the Dhamma. We need their blessings. And how do we get their blessings?
By serving them.
And therefore, Prabhupada said, you come here every year, and then you go back to your place and preach
like anything Krishna consciousness.
And you get so much mercy. Prabhupada asked us to preach not only for the benefit of others, but for our own benefit. Because it attracts the attention of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who becomes overwhelmed, you know, with gratitude to anyone who does the work which he himself has come to do. So what could be better than getting the, you know, getting the gratitude of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in a second, can make you full of prema. If you show him that you're absolutely dedicated to his mission and to fulfilling his mission, he will bless you in so many ways. Prabhupada personally told me that. I was in Bombay, and I told Prabhupada, I was sitting, and I said to him that we're doing so many things, like going to the bank and managing and administrating and having to mix with so many contaminated people. And Prabhupada interrupted me, cut me off, and he said, for so many lifetimes we have wasted our time. He said, for this one lifetime, let us use it in the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then if we fully do that, then at the end of life, even if we are lacking in any way, he'll personally come and cover whatever we lack and take us back. So, therefore, although we may say that someone has not achieved prema according to our vision, but how do you know that within the final moments of a person's life, what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu will do for that person? Supposing to our vision, we do not see a person going through so many stages, but supposing a person has wholly and totally given their life, just like we saw that devotee Gauri do, that she had cancer, but she was always praying, I want to go back and still preach even more. She had such intense desire that even with it, she went back again for another time to go and preach in Los Angeles and distribute Prabhupada's books. Completely selfless. So how can you estimate what may happen in the very final moments of such a person's life? By the causeless mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Because one can become Krishna conscious by mercy of the Lord. I don't say that it may always happen, or that it did happen, but it can happen. And one cannot put a limitation on how merciful Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is. Therefore, in addition to our regular sadhana, trying our best, chanting, worshipping the deity, studying Bhagavatam, etc., let us dedicate ourselves to preaching and become recipients of special mercy for sure.
If some devotee has some special inclination to worship Lord Chaitanya, so in future when he enter in pastimes of Lord Chaitanya or will be associate of Lord Chaitanya, he also reestablish his relationship with Krishna. How is this that he will be simultaneously participate in pastimes of Krishna and pastimes of Lord Chaitanya?
Yeah, he will participate in the eternal pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. And one thing is that if you are very attached to Lord Chaitanya, that means to be attached to his teachings. Isn't it? So what is Lord Chaitanya's teachings? If you read the teachings of Lord Chaitanya, he's teaching all about Radha and Krishna. So to become attached to Lord Chaitanya means to also be attached to Radha and Krishna. So you will be able to join in both of the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha and Krishna. The eternal associates, those who are associates of the Lord, when you are able to return back to the abode of the Lord, by the grace of the Lord, you can be in more places than one. You can be participating in more than one place. Krishna has that ability, his associates have that ability, and if he desires, his devotees also can have that ability. So Bhakti Vinod Thakur has explained this. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur has also explained that one can participate simultaneously in the pastimes of Gaura and in the pastimes of Krishna. The same person will have two forms and be able to participate in both of the leelas.
Well, even right now, in our sadhana state, we worship by worshiping Lord Chaitanya, we also worship Krishna. By participating in Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, we are also participating in Krishna's preaching movement. So even in our conditioned state, in this material world, we are worshiping both Lord Chaitanya and Krishna, so we can imagine the spiritual world, it shouldn't be difficult at all.
You know, it's in such a simple way. Let's take one question. All right, here's the, get the other question.
Right, and the other question is, some of the Priya Bhakti leaders also explained this so-called pastime where Krishna is fighting a demon and just wants to move to the
HQ. When Krishna kills the demons, you're asking, is this the Vasudeva feature or is it the feature of Krishna? Yes, it's explained that it's a Vasudeva feature. And Krishna is enjoying with the residents of Vrindavan, his devotees, is in his original Shyamasundara form.
And the second question.
What was your second
question? The same question asked the Priya Bhakti leaders explain that Krishna also has some so-called pastime. So-called demons on this side, going to the police here. So I have not fully understood.
Well, all of the demons are blessed by their association with Krishna. But I'm not sure exactly what you're referring to.
It appears that there is that Krishna also has sporting pastimes.
Sporting pastimes
with like persons like Casey and other.
Well, there is a pastime where Casey came, but I'm not. I mean, there's a description of.
We're talking about in
Goloka Vrindavan.
Oh. Yeah,
for instance. The demons in Goloka Vrindavan are actually devotees. They're not demons. In fact, these forms to place Krishna. There's no demons there, they're just Krishna's pastime. But when Krishna has the pastime for the demons in Goloka Vrindavan, then they're actual demons.
They are demons. Those are not devotees acting like demons.
Yes, my
just like Putana is described, that in her previous birth, when Krishna came as Vamadeva, Bali Maharaj had a daughter. And when the daughter saw Vamadeva, she thought, oh, what a nice little boy. I wish that I could have a son just like you. And, you know, the Lord being omniscient had to fulfill her desire. But then later on, when Vamadeva arrested Bali Maharaj with the ropes of Varuna, she became so angry seeing her father, what she considered to be unfairly arrested, that she thought that if I ever had the chance, I would kill you. So the Lord being omniscient, he heard this also. So the next verse, she took birth as Putana. And she got to take Krishna and feed him just like a mother and try to kill him. So she was, you know, that was, she's not one of these eternal associates that he's speaking about.
Also, when Krishna killed Putana, it was actually Vishnu who came forth and swept the air out of her, with her life heirs. And Krishna was completely unaware that she was dying, and that's why he was crawling around on top of her after she had fallen over.
So Vasudeva Vishnu feature kills the demons. So we will stop now and begin from here tomorrow. Sri Vrindavan Dham.